unity. So that's the first way these people were a blessing. The second is seen in verse 32 as well. Have a look. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. Now, this is the pivot on which this whole topic hangs, okay? So listen up, and we see it again down in verse 34. Well, halfway through verse 33. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now, this is the key to how the early church was such a blessing. All right, if you take nothing else home from today, this is what I want you to take home for this topic. Christian fellowship is a blessing when there's no needy people among us. Now, you might think, oh, they sold houses, that's what Brendan's going to talk about. It's not. That's an example of what's actually going on here. What is actually going on here is that these people were being good friends to one another. That's what friends do. They help each other out. They were acting towards their Christian brothers and sisters like they act towards their best friends. I mean, who do you lend your car to? Not just anyone. Who do you share a meal for? Not just anyone. Who do you go out of your way to help with chores or with moving house? Not just anyone. You do it for good friends. It's easy to do it for good friends. We want to do that for good friends. And that's what's going on here. All right? Friendship is the key to the topic of fellowship. I think one of the reasons that the West has lost the notion of community, of fellowship, is because we've lost the notion of friendship. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the Lord of the Rings movies that were out about a decade or so ago, they added a couple of subplots to the movie of romantic relationships that were not actually there in the books. Now, why is that? Because, well, in the West, we only care about romantic relationships these days. We don't care about friendship. But that's not what the books were about. The books were about friendship. I mean, the first book is called The Fellowship of the Ring. It's about a whole bunch of people getting together and helping one another out with no romantic undertones. Now, even though Western society seems to have downplayed the notion of friendship, we secretly want this kind of community. It still pervades our TV shows, our movies, our books. I mean, you remember the show Cheers? We want to go where everyone knows your name. We want that. There's even a show called Friends. That along with Seinfeld. I mean, there's two similar shows. It's about a group of friends that just lived in each other's pockets. They just burst into each other's apartments without knocking. And then there's the Harry Potter novels. Yeah, there's some romance in there, but it's about three friends who get together to go on a quest. They look after each other. All right, there's something within us that craves that kind of fellowship, that kind of friendship. And guys, this notion of treating each other as friends is why the church is so attractive, or can be so attractive to outsiders. James told me a story of someone he brought to church about 8 or 10 months ago. And this person, he just stood here gobsmacked at our church. He just said, why are these people being so nice to each other? Why are these people being so generous to each other, bringing all this food for each other? Why are these people caring for each other? Right, this person had never experienced anything like real church, real community before. And this is the number one key to Christian fellowship. Right, we need to treat each other as though we are true friends. Now, there is a third way in which the church is a blessing. I just want to look at it quickly in verse 33. Where is it? With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The final way a church is a blessing is by outreach. Okay, now we talked about that last week. We had a whole sermon on it. It is important. It is of vital importance. But outreach comes under the banner of We're here to bless people. We're here to bless people. But friendship is the basic building block of Christian fellowship. So the final question we need to ask is, what can we do? How can we make our fellowship here even more of a blessing than it already is? Well, the answer is simple. We need to learn to become good friends, true friends, to all different kinds of people. You know, there are all sorts of people that come to church. There are people like me. There are people not like me here. Same with you, all right? We need to learn how to treat all these people, actually love all these people, like true friends. Like true friends. But that is easier said than done, isn't it? The reason being, humans are generally attracted to people that are like us. And there are actually quite a few people here that are not like me or like you. So what are we going to do? I mean, God wants us to be true friends to these people. People of different ages, people of different classes, people of different ethnic backgrounds, people of different political persuasions, different interests, even, get this, different theological ideas. How are we going to become true friends to these people? Well, it's by realizing that Christian fellowship is actually more valuable than we can possibly imagine. You see, when a person realizes exactly how valuable a thing is, it changes how they treat it. So there was a guy that went on the Antiques Roadshow a couple of years back. He brought along a collection of ivory teacups that he'd been collecting one at a time. They were all different. He picked up one for $5,000 here, another for $7,000 there. He'd been collecting them for decades. He had a whole collection. He brought them together. He put them in front of the expert, and the expert appraised them at $2 million. It was the most expensive thing they'd ever had on the roadshow until that point. Now, what do you think that guy did with his ivory teacups up? Did you think he put them back on the mantelpiece to collect dust? No. Under lock and key, he treated them according to their value. And friends, it's the same with Christian fellowship. When we receive, when we realize what it cost Jesus to purchase the Christian fellowship that we enjoy here at Erwood Anglican, it will make us want to treat it accordingly. It will make us want to be true friends to one another. And so what did it cost Jesus? Well, let me ask you this. What do you think was the worst part of Calvary? What was the most painful thing for Jesus to go through? Was it being mocked and betrayed by his own creatures? Was it the lack of justice that he got with the kangaroo court he had to go through? Was it being flogged and having bits of skin ripped off? Was it the nails going through his hands and feet? Was it him grasping for his final breaths? What was the worst? Charles Spurgeon says this: no other place displays the griefs of Christ. No other moment at Calvary is so full of agony as when his cry rends the air, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, says Spurgeon, physical weakness was united with acute mental torture resulting from the departure of his Father's presence. Friends, the blessing of Christian fellowship that you and I enjoy every week came at the cost of suffering beyond all telling, as Spurgeon says, suffering beyond all telling of Jesus breaking fellowship with his Father. So how do we treat this most expensive of gifts? Well, like I said, we become true friends to people. I want to close with four things. Four things that we can do, practical things that we can do to become true friends to the people that are sitting around us. They are: we let people in, we show people grace, we invest our time, and we invest our resources. Four things. So number one, we let people in. True friends let you in. One of the best ways to build a true friendship is to take your mask off. It's to stop pretending that our life is, we've got everything together in our life, and to actually be real and honest with people. Now, there are limits to doing this. I'm not advocating that we share our deepest, darkest secrets with everyone, okay? You need to find some, you know, a small group of people to support you in that. But what I'm saying is, it is okay to let people know you're struggling and to ask them for prayer. Now, they don't need to know the details of the prayer. God knows. But true friends will support one another in their struggles. To be able to get that support, we need to open up. Let people in. Second thing we can do. When people let us in, don't use that as an opportunity to judge them. If someone lets us in to our lives, there is a tendency to sort of, like our pride sort of gets in the way, and we have a tendency to look down on these people, right? Pride loves hearing about the struggles of others. Why do you think we sell so many gossip magazines? We love hearing about how the famous people's lives are falling apart. Makes us feel better about ourselves. Don't do that. Right, we need to show these people grace. What do I mean by grace? I mean accepting them in their struggles, in their frailty, in their sin. Because that's how Jesus accepts us. Right? Unconditional acceptance of our brother or sister who lets us in is one of the best ways to build true friendships. Number three, we invest our time in people. Now this begins with just hanging out. We're already doing that, all right? We hang out for at least an hour after the service every week. It is awesome. How about catching up during the week? Phone call, text message, go out for coffee, go out for lunch, have them over for dinner on a Tuesday night. Unheard of, right? Spend more time with them. We could help them with their chores if they need. We can help them move house. We can just go and sit with them. Another great way to invest time is meeting up with someone one-on-one. We've been talking about discipleship this year. We've got a whole bunch of discipleship partnerships already happening and others about to kick off. Meet up with someone one-on-one just to read the Bible. Encourage one another. Last one is our house party. Now, do you know why churches have house parties, have church camps? It is solely for fellowship. Now, it's fellowship around God, but it is solely for fellowship. While Church of a Sunday gives us fuel to get through the week, getting a whole bunch of Christians away for a weekend changes our lives. It will change our church. Right, the house party is by far and away the best Christian fellowship our church will have this year. Please treat it as such. Invest your time. And fourthly, invest your resources, your possessions, your money. Right, the house party is going to cost money. That's why we warned people 12 months ago, start saving. It's that important. Having people over for a meal will cost money. But the early church put fellowship, friendship, above money. People sold their property. It is unheard of. It is ridiculous, isn't it? These people did not have hang-ups about money. We do. Oh, I don't want to ask for a handout in terms of fellowship. They didn't have that hang-up. Right? Please, if money is the reason you're not coming to the house party, please, please put that aside. There are people here who want to help you out financially so you can have fellowship. Right? Please come and see me, or you can see Denise, whatever side of the fence you're on. If you need help or if you want to give help, come and see me. But please do not let money get in the way of Christian fellowship. These people didn't. Friends, if we can start to do these things, Earlwood Anglican will be even more of a blessing than it already is. But can I just close by noting two things about those four things that I just mentioned, that list. Number one, pastoral care does not just happen in a crisis. It does happen in a crisis, but it doesn't just happen in a crisis. It should happen all the time, all the time. And number two, pastoral care should happen organically. Now, we are trying to get a pastoral care ministry up and running at our church, but that is for last resort type situations. All right? Real fellowship, real care is not organized. It's organic. It just happens. And that's what true fellowship is, friends. It's being blessed by our Christian brothers and sisters by being a true friend to one another. And who doesn't want to be a part of that? So may we continue to build true friendships here at Erwood Anglican and call others to join us so that we can all delight in God as our ultimate treasure together.